Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
That's right, bitches. Talk shit, get hit. How's it going, everybody? It is October 5th, 2022. I am back once again. Yeah, we are starting about 20 minutes late because AEW is celebrating their three-year anniversary show. Big shout-out to Miro once again. Didima redeems another week's pay without having to do anything. That's why I saw today Lana, you know, I almost said Tyler Perry. It's late, DT. I saw Lana do an interview, and the recap said she would love to work for AEW. Shit. Could you imagine every time they spend a dollar of Tony Khan's money, they must giggle. They must go to the store and like, let's go buy some cat litter. But honey, we don't own a cat. Doesn't matter. We didn't do anything. Redeema. Oh my God. Miro is one of the smartest men in pro wrestling. I am a huge fan of Miro. Absolutely. Andrade. Sammy Guevara. I know haters hate when I do this. 2 weeks ago, I told you so. A couple of pictures that seem to have aged quite well. Blurred Lines versus the Sloppy Shop. Or what about Public Enemy number one? 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. I got Public Enemy on the brain tonight. I don't know. Somebody played for me, sent me the music video, Tribe Called Quest scenario, because I was talking about it on Patreon yesterday. I must have played it three times today. You have to watch the music video to really appreciate what the 90s were at that time. But what about also our conversation about Malakai Black 2 weeks ago? Who is the one person that we left out as far as photos? Well, this guy. Well, this photo has not aged well yet because, you know, this is the first time I'm showing it. But it was 2 weeks ago that we talked once again about the AEW culture. You have the old school mentality, professionalism. You know, 4 years ago, I can't believe it's almost 4 years already. It's got to be like 3.5 years, maybe four, where I said that AEW was going to be the first millennial promotion, the first promotion that is going to coddle the snowflakes, the culture of what we are living through today. Now, let me make this clear. Not everything about today's culture is bad. I don't want anybody to think that. But you see the little dick moves. You know, you don't have message boards anymore. So you have people, the EVPs, if you really just listen, get your elite heads out of your asses and listen. Listen! By the way, Tony Khan wants this to be this generation's DX chop. And guess what? It's actually got some nice momentum right now. Little shift tonight. Every time there's backstage controversy, you have an extra handshake in the ring. You have an extra hug in the ring. And now scissoring is all about love. Both sides getting together. You know, blue and red, black and white. What about old school and new school? You know, this is not about age, everyone. It's about a culture. And I want to make that clear because I got some late emails today from some of you kind friends of the show, voicing your opinions about the young guys of today don't respect the guys of yesteryear. And you don't usually hear that out of my mouth. I talk about a culture because culture does not always involve age. So what a lot of people fail to remember is that Andrade is 32 years old. Sammy Guevara is almost 30. There is only a 2-year, 3-month difference in their age. My wife is 10 years younger than me. There's only a 2-year difference between those two guys. It is about how you deal with things of today. I am a huge fan of Sammy Guevara. I always talk about it on the shows. And it's very, very hard for me to throw the guy under the bus. But when I bring up the coddled EVPs, when I bring up Guevara, when I bring up the foundation of AEW, AEW's foundation is based on Silly Putty. It's not hard rock toughness. You know, if I want to say something, I say it to your face. I don't hide as an EVP and report it to a wrestling news site. Shh. I'm not telling you something you're not supposed to. Wait, how did Brian Pillman used to say it? 1-900-909-PILL. Shh, you might hear something you're not supposed to. Why am I wearing a Brian Pillman shirt tonight? I originally promised Zylot Deems that I was going to wear this tonight. He sent me a whole bunch of gifts going to AEW recently, but I had to wear this tonight because today is the 25-year anniversary of Brian Pillman passing away. Shirt still fits pretty good. You know, this shirt is over 25 years old. Still fits pretty good. It's actually a little baggy. That makes me feel good. You know, the funniest is putting on the XPW shirt. Because if anybody remembers when I started working for XPW, the night of Hostile Takeover, if you look at me at the ringside table, that shirt is 2 sizes too small. They didn't have my size. And I remember Slash throwing this shirt to me and saying, put it on. I'm like, all right, let me go to the bathroom. No, put it on now. I'm like, I don't want to put it on in front of people. I got to take my other shirt off and they're going to see Flab. You know, but I had to do it. I was like, fuck it. And it was so, oh my God. It's like trying to shove 3 pounds of bologna in a 1-pound bag. But I had to wear this tonight. Because Brian Pillman, like I said, 25 years ago today, he passed away. And I know I got off topic for a minute. We'll get right back to Andrade and Sammy, I promise you. But I just wanted to show a little love for Brian Pillman because I still remember that day. It was surreal. I will still say to this day that Melanie Pillman and Vince McMahon on Raw the following week made me feel 1,000 times more uncomfortable than Katie Vick and Triple H. 1,000 times more uncomfortable. I laughed when Triple H had sex with a dead person and threw chop meat in the street because I worked. My father owns a meat market, deli. So there's many times holding chop meat, running it through the machine. So I laughed my ass off when I saw that. He banged her brains out. Melanie Pillman that following week was so awkward. And, you know, I do have still this shirt. I don't know how many of you had it at the time. This was a tribute shirt. And, you know, there was something that I noticed, you know, that I never realized. It never sunk in. This is the back of the shirt that WWF put out at the time. And if you look at all the way at the bottom, the profits of the shirt went to the Brian Pillman Memorial Fund. Not the proceeds, but the profits. All this time, I thought every dollar that was raised from selling those shirts went to the Pillman Fund and Melanie Pillman and the family. It was just the profits. So you're only talking a couple of dollars a shirt. But this shirt was pretty unique at the time because if you look at the back of it, today it doesn't feel that much of a big deal. But, you know, WWF in 1997 acknowledged that Brian Pillman was part of the Four Horsemen. At that time it was a big deal. It was like, wow, they're acknowledging that he was a champ because WCW was still trying to put WWF out in business at that time. But they acknowledged his career in WCW on that shirt. I thought that was pretty cool. I'll never forget the benefit show that they did because you had all different promotions. You had WCW and WWF on the same show. ECW was on that show. It was other promotions as well. There's still bootlegs of that video floating around. So, but anyway, rest in peace, Brian Pillman. 25 years later, time fucking flies, man. Time flies. But, you know, let's get back to the topic at hand. Now, before I go any further with the Andrade Sammy stuff, and I will give you all the breakdown as far as what has happened and what will happen and what will likely happen, and something that I'm going to tease in the near future. And when we get back to the culture part, you will understand, do not have any sympathy for Tony Khan. And I'm not saying that to be cold. I'm not saying that to be a jerk, but I'll explain why in a little bit. And it's not even that Sammy Guevara got the pin tonight. You know, some people online, oh, you know, if Tony Khan really wants to make a statement, Sammy Guevara should be pinned tonight. Yeah, that clears up everything. What the fuck are these people talking about? You know what was weird tonight? Watching people online criticizing AEW for sending Andrade home and having Sammy Guevara not only remain in the main event, but now get the win. Watching those people react that way is like watching firemen that are trying to put out a fire, but you don't realize for 3 years they're lighting matches and they set the house on fire. They helped build the house fire. A fireman putting out a fire that they fucking help start and build over 3 years. Let me tell you all something before we get into this a little deep. The AEW culture will win out here. It, you know, when I see people like, oh, I don't think they'll survive another 3 years. AEW's in trouble. No, they're not. No, they're not. Because AEW, when I said almost 4 years ago, they're going to be the first millennial promotion, the first promotion that satisfies the culture of today. That culture of today is not the majority of wrestling fans. That's why their ceiling is 1.2 million, 1,900,000. You're seeing things even out now because there is a foundation. You know, the new car smell of AEW is gone. It's now 3 years. You know what AEW is about. You know in your hearts, and in your mind, you know that those EVPs, the other people that work behind the scenes in AEW, when they don't like someone, they don't like something going on, shit gets leaked out to some people in the media. And it doesn't matter if Malachi Black says, you know, I don't like that my mental health issues requesting time off leaked out to the media. Who do you think he told that to? Jose the bartender in the back? John in catering? You know, Leo the janitor? He talks to management. And management opens their mouth to some people in the news media and they'll tell those, don't, you didn't hear from me. And then those news media, hey, you know, do you get paid from AEW? None of them get paid from AEW, but they sure get dirt from them, and they'll never reveal it because they don't want to lose those sources. You have people in the media that do the dirty work. You do realize that, and I'm not going to talk about this aspect today, but in the very near future, maybe Friday night, maybe we'll do it next Wednesday. But I'm going to start throwing out some truth bombs about this investigation that's going on about CM Punk and the EVPs. Take a step back. What do you think? Inspector Gadget? What do you think? They're reviewing forensic evidence? Who threw the first punch? What the fuck do you think they're actually doing? This is not a publicly traded company. All right. The same people investigating this are the same people that investigated the bots that everybody let drop. So it's not an age factor, because if you pay attention to even the media out there, the age demo is very diverse. You have 18-year-olds that claim to be journalists, that fancy themselves as journalists. You have people in their 20s and 30s. You have people in their 40s and 50s. You have a couple of people who are approaching 60. So the age is not an issue here. It is the culture. The foundation is not built on cement and rebar and, you know, masonry. It's built on silly putty. It's built on feel-good moments. It's built on spots. It's built on whatever. And I don't even have a problem, you know, with all the leg slapping and everything like that, because every time somebody says to me, DT, do you have a problem with the leg slapping? I say no, because when I grew up, and I'm not going to really do it loud because people upstairs will get mad, one of the things that I left and criticized about wrestling when I grew up watching it as early as the 80s is whenever somebody would hit someone, they would stomp their foot on the ground because they wanted that sound effect that the punch actually hit. And it looked goofy, especially when you were sitting ringside and you're like, it's like, you know, so the leg slapping is no different to me. It's not even about that. But there is a culture, a climate, how things are handled that is what the foundation of AEW is. They are not going to go out of business. That foundation will always win. I tweeted an hour and a half before tonight's main event that at the end of the day, the AEW culture, the pillars, the foundation, that will prevail. And you know what's going to happen? Your CM Punks, your Malachi Blacks, your Andrades, the ones that are really professional but also outspoken, those are the ones that will ultimately exit AEW. Those other people will be the ones that'll say, I ain't fucking going to AEW. I don't want to deal with that shit. Then you have others like Miro and Bryan Danielson and others. Hey, I do my job. I love wrestling. Whatever you pay me to, if you want to pay me to not do nothing, that's fine with me. Pac and others. But you could see clearly how people handle their business. And Andrade, he is one that is not going to tweet and hide. He is one that is not going to leak out something to someone and put it out there as dirt. And once again, this is why when we talked about Guevara and Eddie Kingston, this is why when we talked about other incidents, is it blurred lines or is it a sloppy shop? This is old news on this show. When we talked about CM Punk, hashtag Punk was right. I've talked about this before, and I'll say it again here. As time goes on, you're going to see more and more people say, Punk was right. Yes, unprofessional to do it the way he did. Where else was he going to do it? Was he going to go in the middle of the ring at a live Dynamite and do it? No, he did it with every person who fancies themselves as a journalist and did it there. CM Punk did not want to do it in front of wrestling fans. He didn't want to stand in the middle of the ring or sit down in the middle of the ring and go off on the fake media. He went into a room with a lot of guilty people in that room. Not everybody does that, but quite a few people do. And they got way too comfortable with it. They've been doing it for years. And you see every time some shit goes down, and then you see people, can't we do a little better? We need to do a little better. We need to do this. We need to do that. And then it disappears. Malachi Black just fucking said it 2 weeks ago. Even though he was a little vague about requesting his release, still, his shit got leaked out. And he literally begged people out there, why do you keep listening to these people? Why do you keep following these people? We talked about it yesterday on Patreon with Ludwig Kaiser. You know, throwing out, you know, all the bullshit that's been reported before Vince left. And then these people do it because they know Vince was never going to call them out. Triple H and others were never going to call them out. So they test the waters. They test to see who's going to call out who. That's why you rarely ever see any rumors being reported about Andrade. Because that motherfucker will fight back. You don't see rumors about others because people love them. They are a reflection of the climate, the culture in AEW. And that's why there's so many disingenuous people out there. So what happened with Andrade and Sammy Guevara? Well, it's very simple to narrow it down. This all started with an interview on Mas Luchas. Andrade was talking about lucha libre, fighting, the culture, you know, the style, you know, getting physical. And he was talking about, you know, if I hit you hard, you hit me back just as hard. A lot of wrestlers have said that over the years. You know, some wrestlers are notorious for potatoing people, not intentionally. But those wrestlers have said, hey, if I fucking connect, give it back to me. And he brought up an incident that happened with Sammy Guevara in AEW. And Andrade, in this interview with Mas Lucha, said that Sammy once had an issue with him because Andrade had a match with him, and Sammy went up to him and complained that Andrade hit him too hard in the ring. And Andrade said, look, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, if I accidentally hit you, you hit me right back. Okay? That's how this started. He wasn't throwing shade towards Sammy Guevara. He was basically saying, look, Sammy complained once that I hit too hard. Give it back to me. You know, of course, Andrade shouldn't hit too hard in the first place, but still. So Sammy obviously was not going to have that. So, tweet number one. Sammy Guevara goes on social media today and he writes on Twitter, and I quote, you didn't say shit to me. You liar, but here's some truth, you ungrateful prick. You would be jobless if it wasn't for your dad-in-law. Are you really mad at me or mad at yourself for failing to get over for a second time? Just go back to WWE like we all you want to do and fuck off. It's a pretty triggered response to Andrade talking on an interview. Mike, I'll talk about NXT in a little bit. NXT was Bizarro Land yesterday. I felt like I was in Bizarro Land watching some of NXT. We'll talk about that later. Right now, the topic at hand is Sammy Guevara and Andrade. So, Sammy comes back with this response on Twitter. So, Andrade has an answer to Sammy. Andrade says, I said it to your face. And if you had a problem with me, I said it to your face if you had a problem with me. And you said nothing. I won't beat your ass because I'm a professional. Don't be scared. When I say something, I name names, and I'm not scared to get fired. I'm not the biggest Andrade fan, but 2 weeks ago I said to you, and Andrade is going to be one of the next ones, just like Thunder Rosa, who has some issues with the culture in AEW, just as some other women who we name dropped as well. You know, and I don't like name dropping names because, you know, unless they really go out there and talk about it, you know, but there's a lot of people within AEW that actually were very happy of what CM Punk did. I know that sounds selfish and cold, but I'm telling you, as time goes by, you're going to see more and more people realize CM Punk was right in what he did. And you're going to see more and more people stepping up, and you will see a pattern. And it's not just X WWE guys. You know, I don't want anybody to think, oh, well, you know, that's one thing. You go to WWE, you learn professionalism. You learn this. No, it's not as easy as that. There is a mindset. There is a clash in a mindset within AEW. As long as you think about that and keep that on your mind, you will probably even predict some of these things that go down. Eddie Kingston is old school. He's as old school as you possibly could get. And you know, same mentality. So this is Andrade's response to Sammy. So Sammy goes back and says, you are a jobber, a favor hire, be grateful, bitch. So Andrade responds back and says, okay, I'm a liar. I'll see you on Wednesday. I'll tell you to your face again. And nothing you say that you do not have a problem. I'll tell you to your face again, and nothing you say that you do not have a problem. Okay? Because basically, the last time Andrade confronted Sammy, Sammy said nothing. You didn't have a problem. You didn't say nothing in my face. I'm going to show up tonight at Dynamite, and let's see if you still have a problem. Well, guess what? Andrade did show up tonight at Dynamite. And Sammy Guevara was there as well. TMZ reported most of this. A couple little details that they did not report. You know, everybody thinks, you know, that Sammy shoved Andrade, that that was the first physical thing. Those are people that just don't like Sammy Guevara. And I'm not taking sides here. I'm just telling you from what I was told and things I read online. I mean, we're putting it all together. Andrade showed up. Once again, Tony Khan not stepping up and trying to stop a fire before it's lit. You had some people in AEW, come on, Andrade, you know, just let it go. Just let it go. No, you know, look back at what Sammy said on social media. Look at some of the things that he said on social media. This isn't just he said, she said. He's throwing things out. You're a jobber. You're a bitch. If it wasn't for your father-in-law, this, this, and that. You know, so Andrade shows up, goes right up to Sammy and says, what do you have to say now about it? Come on, tell me to my face. You have a problem with me? Tell me to my face. Sammy said nothing. So Andrade started bitching his ass out verbally, started calling Sammy a whole bunch of names. I don't want to start putting, you know, we don't know exactly. I wasn't there. But he basically was, you know, putting down Sammy and making him look like, you know, look like a goof, to say it bluntly, in front of a lot of people. So Sammy got fed up with it and pushed Andrade, and it led to a couple of swings being thrown. They sent Andrade home. Sammy went on to main event tonight and actually win the match. Because Andrade, he's told everyone, I'm showing up at Dynamite. Say something to my face, bitch. I dare you. Tell me to my face. You have a tell me that I'm a jobber. Tell me this, tell me that. I don't play that way. And that's what led to what happened. So as a result, the career versus mask match is off. Now, as we talked about last week, Andrade, there was no chance of him losing that match because Tony Khan just went on record and told some of the minions online that he's not letting anybody out of their contract. Even if he has to pay people to sit at home, he's not letting anybody out of their contracts. So Andrade, there was no chance. Now, sure, something could change now. If AEW feels that Andrade is too much of a problem for the locker room, sure, they could terminate his contract. That is much different. And trust me when I tell you, there's enough media and enough supporters online that will turn around and spin this that, look, you know, I know Tony Khan said that he would never let anybody out of his contract, but obviously Andrade, you know, is a problem. CM Punk, public enemy number one. I told you all that night of the scrum that you give it a little bit of time and you will find the majority of the media online doing what they possibly can to assist on getting CM Punk out of AEW. All right? Because CM Punk will say something, just like Andrade, just like others. And hook, line, and sinker, that is exactly what's going down. And then people use the cute words that end in L-Y. AEW will likely buy out CM Punk's contract. AEW possibly may buy out his contract. CM Punk likely wrestled his last match in AEW. You have to use a word that ends in L-Y. You don't know fucking shit. You're just throwing something out there and hoping to God that you are right. And why do they throw it out there so goddamn early? Because they want to be the first person on record. So when you look back at the annals of history, whether it's the TV 14 rating, whether it's Sasha and Naomi coming back, whether it's them never coming back, when it's Bray Wyatt returning, when it's fucking Santa Claus returning, they got to throw the shit out there as early as possible. So when people Google it, a year from now, 5 years now, oh, look, my name popped up. They vanity searched themselves. They vanity searched themselves. You know, that's why we had the fun with the sausage in July and August. You do realize that every single thing that I posted with the word sausage next to it ended up being true. With the exception of Sasha and Naomi, which will happen by day one, or the Royal Rumble at the latest. They're back. They're coming back. It's happening. You don't even need to go there tonight because tonight's about NXT and AEW and a little Impact Wrestling because they got Bound for Glory taking place on the 7th, so we'll run down the card. But, yeah, I do eat a lot of sausage, Chris. I do eat a lot of sausage. But so at the end of the day, everyone, remember what I said. This is not about age. This is not about old versus new. It's about a mindset, a culture. Not everybody who is a younger person that falls into millennial territory is considered a snowflake or a softy or has to be coddled or, you know, when they have a problem, they don't tell it to somebody's face. They leak out bullshit to the news media or they'll leak out dirt that the news media should not have. And that's why, like I said, the Malachi Black and you heard about Buddy Matthews rumors and you heard about this. And as I will keep saying until I am blue in the face, every time you read something like Buddy Matthews requested his release, Malachi Black requested his release, this person did this, Colt Cabana, right? We'll confirm something now with him. Take note that none of those journalists ever have in their articles, we reached out to CM Punk for comment, and he did not reply. We reached out to Colt Cabana to find out if this was true. We received no reply. We reached out to Malachi Black. We reached out to Buddy Matthews. We reached out to so-and-so for verification or confirmation, and we received no reply. Nobody does that. Every time you see a rumor, take note, no one writes, we reached out to Sheamus. We reached out to Drew McIntyre. We reached out to whoever for comment, clarification, confirmation, and we received no reply. You never do that because they don't want the actual answer. Because if they get the actual answer and it ends up being boring and it ends up dispelling a rumor that could result in thousands of hits, now if they report it anyway, they always have to worry about that wrestler going public and saying, wait a minute, I fucking told you that this was not true. Why did you post it anyway? Look at the Thunder Rosa stuff with Brad Shepherd. You know, nothing personal against the guy. But, you know, then you saw people like, oh, somebody hid in the bathroom and this and that. And it ended up being bullshit. But not once did you ever see them write. We reached out to Thunder Rosa for confirmation. We reached out for a comment. We received no reply. When you see people not doing that, they're not looking for the truth. They're looking for the hits. And at the end of the day, AEW will stay in business. The AEW culture will remain as it is. What will happen is you will see a stark divide between how WWE runs business and AEW runs business. And if Freddie Prinze Jr. ever starts his thing, then maybe he could be listed in the... I laughed at that today. Freddie Prinze Jr. offered Bray Wyatt a contract. For what? Bray, I want to sign you so you could debut in 2025. I mean, do you realize how stupid that actually is? The motherfucker has nothing right now. What do you think he was? Put him under retainer? You know, hey, can I lock you in? You know, we're not going to start for like 5 years, but can I lock you in? You know, can I get a yes? Can I get fuck out of here. It's so stupid when you think about it. But what'll happen to AEW is they will remain a lot smaller than what they should be. Because as I always said, Tony Khan, his fantasy promotion is Ring of Honor meets ECW with a little Japanese wrestling mixed in. And the difference between the ECW culture and the AEW culture is back in the day with ECW, when it was a renegade, when it was anti-WWE and anti-WCW, trust me, I lived through it and I was one of the biggest fans at the time. The difference was when a fat Guido like me would go to Philly in the ECW arena and you show up and you've never been there before and you're with a bunch of your friends from New York and a whole bunch of Philly regulars, like, who are these guys? And you see people wearing like a Rangers shirt or New York shirt or Yankees, Mets, the Knicks. Oh, my God, the amount of Knicks jerseys that would show up in the ECW arena. You know what the difference was? You didn't have tribalism. You didn't have anger and hatred. You had those Philly guys, as much as they smelled like armpits and shit, they would come up to you and say, hey, man, you know, cool. Jump in. The water's warm. You know, sit down. Hang out. Oh, don't sit there. That's straw guy. No, the straw hat guy. Oh, no, no, no. Don't sit there. You know, but they welcomed you with open arms. That's not what AEW does. You know, you never see Tony Khan and others ever go on social media and say, listen, guys, we love all your support. We love this, but you got to stop doing this. You got to, did you know, when I ask and I get the answer. So easy to ask. If you don't get the answer, you say it. I talked about it for 2 weeks. Did Colt Cabana ever confirm or deny the reports that CM Punk had him demoted or he was moved to Ring of Honor because of CM Punk? Has he ever confirmed or dispelled that? And the answer is no. He never once went public. The guy who podcasts not as many episodes as me, I'm at like 5,200, but the guy who's been podcasting for ages never came up, did a TikTok video, nothing, and says, listen, guys, I know there's this report going around for 7 months that, you know, I was demoted and forced out of here. Look, guys, you know, CM Punk and I, we don't talk to each other. You know, he does his thing, I do my thing, but that report is not true. How long does that take? 15 seconds? He never put it out there. Why? Because he didn't like the fact that he was demoted. And guess what? People that work in AEW, that love Colt Cabana, that appreciate what that guy does behind the scenes, those people went and sent dirt to the journalist and said, oh, CM Punk, you know, he with his pull and because of who he is, you know, Colt Cabana was pushed out of AEW, moved towards Ring of Honor. And instead of saying, we reached out to Colt Cabana for confirmation, or we reached out for a comment from CM, no, you know what they would do? Like Nick Houseman on a Ring of Honor Q&A. Hey, you know, Fightful is reporting this. And, oh, I read a report that he was moved here. Instead of getting the answer, you know, trying to get, no, you just, you're using another story that you don't even know if it's true, and you're asking Tony Khan for a comment? I mean, just think about that for a minute. People don't want the truth. They want the attention and the hits. So at the end of the day, AEW will remain. And that foundation will prevail. Just as Sammy Guevara prevailed tonight. He is a representation. Tony Khan may be 39 years old, but his mindset is what the AEW foundation is built on. So at the end of the day, who is going to win out? The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega or CM Punk? Think about that. Even you could turn around and say, well, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are much more important because of their responsibilities backstage. And yeah, a lot of that is true. But think of how AEW was built. Think back to why, before Cody Rhodes left, you heard that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega don't even talk to Cody anymore and this and that. And when they left, apparently there was, you know, like a non-disclosure agreed upon. You know, that's the legalese. And basically, Cody Rhodes, again, doesn't represent that culture. For a while, we thought that he did. Early on, we thought that Cody Rhodes pretty much was exactly what the AEW Foundation was built on. And as it went on and on and on, you realize, no, Cody Rhodes was more about the entertainment, TBS, and, you know, just being a larger-than-life celebrity, you know, taking care of his family, too. But you realize that he never leaked shit online. He didn't have anybody out there. Take note that once Cody Rhodes left AEW, nobody online could report something true. I still remember to this day, the weekend of WrestleMania, some of the podcasters that I even like actually telling people to their face, WrestleMania weekend, you know, there's a chance Cody may not appear. That Cody is not a lock. What the fuck are you talking about? Up until that weekend. So in the end, AEW will stay around. But because of that culture, and it doesn't matter how many times you want to scissor. Doesn't matter how many times you want to extend your hand. Yuta to MJF tonight. Yuta wants to throw MJF off of the fucking skybox. to his death last week. And then this week, I lost. Shake my hand. You realize how stupid that looks? Darby Allin. Darby Allin. All of a sudden, Jay Lethal. Shake my hand, goddammit. You know, shake my hand. Respect, goddammit. It's, you know, that's the mindset. The more you get the backstage controversy, the more you will see the pillars trying to reflect the opposite. Shake my hand. Respect. Honor. You know, people prevent. That's why people get turned off. There's no tribalism. It is very small. We were talking about it yesterday on Patreon. Understand that social media, that noise, is only a tiny percentage of the overall wrestling fans. But they are so loud. You know, look at Bandido. 2.5 years ago, I went on these shows and I said, remember the name Bandido? That guy is a future star in the making. Now, you know, I got lucky, you know, but you could see the guy was so fucking talented. He signs a deal with AEW now. And my first thought was, I look at Roosh and I look at others. They get a little play, but, you know, are they really getting elevated? No. And I look at the size of the roster and I look at the players and I look at the favorites and you can see who are Tony Khan's boys and who aren't. I'm like, what is he going to do? What is he going to do? At most, hold the All-Atlantic title, one of 95 titles in AEW. So I look at the signing, and I said, you know what? He's definitely an excellent wrestler, but at the end of the day, is this guy going to be featured on TV every week? No. You know, is he really going to do much? Guy don't even fucking speak English all that well. You know, so what is he going to do? You know, you could have Jose the assistant trying to recruit Bandido, and you have Bandido versus Rush. Yeah, it'll be an awesome match. You know, but at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to make much of an effect. But you look at some of the people on social media today. Unbelievable signing. Holy fucking shit. LFG, this, that. You know, people got to make it 1,000 times bigger than what it actually is. So that climate, that culture of AEW will always prevail. And as a result, AEW will be smaller than what it should be. When people want to just watch some great wrestling for a night, they'll tune in. They'll tune in. But, you know, and we're not even talking about the ticket sale stuff, because some of the stuff that was floating around last week was so ridiculously stupid. And people were focusing on an Atlantic City event that's not even happening for another month. And, you know, people are talking about it. It's just, you know, they're trying to find anything to, you know, to put it down. At the end of the day, AEW will be fine. But it's going to satisfy that culture that reflects today's society. Just like the Attitude Era. Why do you think the Attitude Era blew up? Families hated it. Their kids loved it, and they snuck watching the Attitude Era, but their families would not allow it. It turned off a demographic, but it turned on another demographic. Same thing with AEW. They're going to turn off a certain demographic. And why do you think the demos on AEW are down like 40% from a year or two ago? And remember what I said a couple of months ago. Once it's the one-year anniversary of CM Punk, now it's going to be really interesting, because now you have not only a year later with him, but you have Adam Cole now, and you have, you know, others on the roster. So, you know, what's the excuse now? And you're starting to see that a certain demo is now becoming the dominant demo for AEW. And it turns off a lot of people as well. So, you know, and look, at the end of the day, it's about the total revenue. You know, somebody brought up the Raw rating. Well, right now it's against football, and it's down 30, 40% at times because of football. And that's notorious. That's every year. But when WWE had great ratings and football's ratings sucked, you never saw the NFL say, well, Raw was on last night. You know, WWE is $1 billion. Do you realize, did you see the reports today that WWE stock is the highest it's been in 3 years? 3 years. Think about that. That is dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Do you remember my deep dive about the 100-plus people who were released in WWE since the pandemic? What happened in 2019? 2019, WWE stock hit almost $100 a share. And WWE went on a massive hiring spree. This was right before AEW really debuted with Dynamite. They wanted a massive hiring spree because they had so much revenue coming in. And then when the stock started to tumble, 25%, 30%, and then you had the pandemic, they're like, the fuck are we going to do with all of these people? And they released over 100 people. And now you see, it's not about putting people out of work so they can have record profits. It's called smart business. It's called managing your money. You know, right now, WWE answers to the investors. Their stock, Vince McMahon has made close to $200 million in the last 5 or 6 weeks. Think about that. That's bigger than AEW's TV deal. In a matter of 6 weeks, Vince McMahon has made almost $200 million. And what is he doing? I mean, really, what is he doing? Sitting back, WWE is like a finely oiled machine. So that's how you please your investors. For AEW, though, they're not a publicly traded company. Their investors are the people who buy the shirts, the people who buy the pay-per-views, the people who buy the tickets. And of course, tickets and merchandise revenue is very important for WWE as well. But when you start seeing fans that are saying, you know, I'm not going to spend $40 on an AEW shirt. I'm going to pass it up. You know, that tells you something. And when you realize that the acclaimed Scissor Me Daddy S shirt is the best-selling shirt of 2022, that is cool. That is cool. I am a gigantic fan of the acclaimed, but that also tells a very revealing thing about AEW. You look at their major stars and their major players and some of the biggest moments of 2022, and then you realize that a Scissor Me Daddy S shirt is now the biggest seller of the entire 2022. You know, think of the mindset. It's about feel good. You know, this, it's, you know, and that's fine. But when you don't feel good, that's where the problem runs in. When you feel good, everything is great. Tony Khan will go on, do interviews. You'll see him on radio, on print. You'll see him do, you know, podcasts that have 500 viewers. You know, he'll be everywhere. When things are great, everybody is ecstatic and happy. Well, when things are not great, that's where you see the biggest problems with AEW. AEW is not good at handling bumps in the road. And when I talk about, you know, this outside investigation with CM Punk and EVPs, all you're going to be left with is, wow, why is the news media not exposing this? So we'll talk about it either this Friday or next week. Maybe next week, because Friday is, you know, obviously the weekend of Extreme Rules and a few other things. And I want to show you something else before we just go a quick overview of tonight's show and a little NXT as well. I've been talking about this for a little while. And yes, this graphic is photoshopped. Dax Harwood, his record in AEW, 46-16-1. All right, whatever. He holds the IWGP Ring of Honor and AAA tag titles. And as you can see, I added, he's not worthy of the AEW tag titles. FTR remains AEW's number one ranked tag team. FTR's number one ranked tag team. Based on what? Based on what? So now, I want to show everybody something. Now, if you are viewing this through a phone and your screen is very small, don't worry about it. I will read it. For those on audio only, I want you to see this as well. I want you to see how much the smoke and mirrors with FTR and AEW actually is. Now, I don't compare, you know, tag teams of AEW to WWE. But when you see a tag team getting momentum, you look at the Usos, for example. Those motherfuckers are on your TV every week, and most of the time, they are wrestling. They are right in your face. If you have a wrestler, Sami Zayn, top of his game right now. Everybody loves Sami Zayn. Imagine if Sami Zayn only had 6 matches on WWE television the whole year. Imagine if, you know, he held the, you know, Evolve Championship. I want to show you what FTR has done in the AEW record books. because this is what I talked about when it came to Dark and Elevation. Do you remember Ruby Soho's record that we exposed a while ago? She was like, I think she was like 32 and 3. And then when you actually looked, like 29 of those 32 wins were on Dark and Elevation. And most of those wins were against people that you never even heard existed. So what you start realizing is, okay, for YouTube, she's a superstar for AEW. But as far as network television and advertisers, that's not the case at all. If she is that good and that much pushed, why is that doesn't reflect on Dynamite and Rampage? All right? Yeah. Cappy Kamen, look at Abaddon. But in defense of Abaddon, she has gotten much better. But I want to show you Dax Harwood for a minute. So for those that can see this, you can look on your screen. This is the website that I was talking about the other day, the Internet Wrestling Database. We're going to look at Dax Harwood. Now, this is his overall wrestling career going back to 2010. Right now, what we are focused on is AEW, which I'm clicking on, and we are only focused on 2022, which I'm clicking on as well. So now on your screen is what Dax Harwood has done in 2022 for AEW. Now, here is the catches. We are going to leave Ring of Honor out of this. We're going to leave AAA out of this. We're going to leave Trios matches out of this, because FTR being ranked the number one tag team in AEW, it should not include Trios matches. We are not going to include matches that did not involve Cash and Dax together as a tag team. And we're not going to include IWGP. We're only going to include tag matches for AEW in 2022. AEW tag matches. As you will look, right here is the last time Dax and Cash have wrestled an AEW match without Ring of Honor mentioned. Not a Ring of Honor match, not a AAA or an IWGP match. The last time FTR actually wrestled an AEW match was back on March 30th on Dynamite against the Gun Club. Am I wrong? Look it up here. Look it up here. You had AEW Dynamite in May where they wrestled, but they were defending the Ring of Honor tag titles. We're talking about AEW. They're AEW's number one ranked tag team. They have not wrestled a tag team match under the AEW banner since March 30th. Now, if you want to look at FTR's entire 2022 record in AEW, I'm going to highlight it on the screen, okay? They defeated the Gun Club. So right now, they are 1-0. They lost a casino tag team battle royale on the March 2nd Dynamite. So they're 1-1. On the February 23rd Dynamite, there was another tag team battle royale, and they lost that match as well. So they are 1-2. On the January 26th edition of Rampage, FTR defeated Brock Anderson and Lee Johnson. And on AEW Dark Elevation on January 5th, 2022, they defeated Miles Hawkins and Pat Brink. That is their entire 2022 career under the AEW banner, AEW stats. That is your number one ranked tag team, everyone. They have not had an AEW match since March 30th, and their entire 2022 record is 3-3. Pretty wild. You see them coming out, making a save for Wardlow. Then they're involved tonight. And look, Battle of the Belts, they're defending the Ring of Honor championships. But they're not worthy to win matches under the AEW banner. When everything is said and done, I don't care, what Tony Khan owns. But at the end of the day, you're watching AEW Dynamite. You're watching AEW Rampage. You're watching AEW pay-per-views. You're going to an AEW an event. And when you see certain people out there and they're always defending other promotions' titles, you start asking yourself, wait a minute. Why does FTR, whenever they're used, why is there always a Ring of Honor attachment to it? Why is there a AAA attachment to it? Why isn't it an AEW attachment to it? Answer me that. That's smoke and mirrors. So when you look at their entire 2022, as far as AEW, when AEW announces them as Tag Team of the Year, which I don't think is going to happen. I think, believe it or not, if the Acclaim continues the momentum with the Scissors, which is going to be this generation's DX chop, that's what Tony Khan wants with this, and so far so good. The Acclaim, they have 3 months to really, you know, put it in the bag. But if AEW at the end of the day puts FTR as the number one tag team of the year for AEW, you know, look at what AEW does. Now, you look at NXT. You have wrestlers that are on the main roster, and if they get a bunch of wins in NXT and they can't win on Raw, SmackDown, or premium live events, you know everybody and their mother's going to say, oh, well, NXT matches don't count. That's a demotion. It's the Raw and SmackDown is what matters. You know, if you want to play that game now, and you realize, why isn't FTR wrestling under the AEW banner? Not one match since March 30th. March. We're in October. Okay. Very quickly, tonight. Oh, there's one last thing with Andrade I want to show you. Tonight, after he was sent home, he posted a message on social media. Some people think it was directed towards Tony Khan. I think this is more directed towards Sammy Guevara and others out there. And he posted this. Respect me, and I'll respect you. That doesn't even sound like Andrade, but I don't know why I always do that. Didi Dima! Respect me, and I'll respect you. That's what he posted. All right. Dynamite tonight. One thing put a smile on my face. Seeing Prince Nana out there, you know, representing Brian Cage, representing the embassy this weekend. You know, Prince Nana is good people, man. I have told you about my personal interactions with Prince Nana, outside of wrestling as well. Good man. See him out there. I know some people don't know who he is, and you will not be criticized for that. You're not required to know Prince Nana's career. But that man, I'm telling you right now, yeah, he may not be featured in many winning, you know, moments, but that guy is so fucking happy right now. And I am very, very happy for Prince Nana. So, all right, Dynamite tonight. This is pretty much what we had advertised. National Scissoring Day. Wardlow defending the TNT Championship, beating Brian Cage. Match went a lot longer than I thought it was going to go. After the match is over, we had a little bit of a clusterfuck. The Gates of Agony showed up. Samoa Joe shows up. FTR shows up. Now, you know that this is being set up for either Rampage or Battle of the Belts this weekend. And sure enough, you know, we haven't heard anything about Samoa Joe. You know, Samoa Joe, you know, he had that one match and, you know, he'll probably get put in a tag team, 6-man or maybe an 8-man tag. And who knows? I think down the line, we're going to see Samoa Joe versus Wardlow. I think that match is being considered. But Wardlow went a lot longer against Brian Cage than I expected. MJF beating Wheeler Yuta to open up tonight's show. And, you know, if you follow MJF social media, you knew that that match was opening up tonight. After the match was over, as we said earlier, Yuta Michinoku extends his hand, wants a handshake from MJF. That looked almost as stupid as when Taz wanted a handshake from Sabu after their match at Barely Legal 1997. If anybody remembers that, you remember the people at ringside? They had so much heat for 2 years. That was a 2-year hatred building up of Taz versus Sabu. And after the match is over, Taz wanted a handshake. And I'll never forget when Sabu did shake his hand. I remember seeing everybody at ringside clapping like this. It was so stupid. But at least Sabu and RVD beat the fuck out of Taz that night. So it was a swerve, but still. MJF looked like he was about to maybe show a little sign of respect. And then you got Lee Moriarty attacks Wheeler Yuta. And MJF is like, I didn't ask you to do that. I didn't ask you to do that. Stokely Hathaway comes out of ringside and, you know, a little tease that there might be some dissension. Then it looks like that there may be a joint beatdown of Yuta. And here comes William Regal. He takes out Brass Knucks, puts it on his hand, enters the ring. MJF backs off, leaves the ring. To be continued. Darby Allin over Jay Lethal. After the match is over, Darby insists on a handshake, gets it from Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal's entourage, not too happy about that. Okay. Thank you, Zylot Deems. DMD, cutting a promo tonight, backstage. Here you go, everyone. Saray is not cleared to wrestle. Doctors have not cleared her. This is my house. Now, in storyline, this is awful. This is awful because in storyline, Saraya is about to come out to be in the corner of the babyface women. That just airs on the Titantrons on TV. Remember last week, Saraya? This is my house. Give me the mic. I'll talk as long as I want to. Why would Saraya just hang out at ringside for the entire match? Not say a damn thing, not go on the mic and say, listen, everyone, that's bullshit. I know what AEW was trying to do. They were trying to make it seem that Britt Baker was telling the fans one thing, but the truth is different. If you do something like that, you do not have Saraya and Britt Baker at ringside right after that. Because when Saraya is more concerned about, let me adjust my jacket so my boobies, my cleavage sticks out a little bit more, and I'm sure a lot of you caught that tonight. She's adjusting it. I'm not complaining. You know, she's a pretty girl, but, you know, she's adjusting a jacket, you know, making sure the puppies are sticking out a little bit. But after the match was over, very weird moment, Willow Nightingale gets the pin. And obviously that was to give the suspension of disbelief that she's on momentum because now she's going to challenge Jade. And oh, I got something to say about that in a minute. After the match is over, the babyface women are all in the ring celebrating. And Britt Baker enters the ring. And it was just really weird because I think the babyface women, with the exception of Saraya, forgot that she was going to hit the ring. And it almost looked like she was like, excuse me for a minute. You know, I'm supposed to do a segment here. And she has like a extended exchange of words with Saraya, but Saraya clocks her. And then you have the babyface women, you know, attempting to go after Britt Baker, but it was all about Saraya throwing Britt Baker out of the ring. Well, now you got Rebel, you know, who is, you know, she works behind the scenes. She's got to get a little bit of a moment, just like Sterling, Mark Sterling. I don't call him smart Mark Sterling because he's not smart to me, you know, on the ring. I'm just not a fan of his. But, you know, Rebel gets stuck in the ring. Oh, please don't do anything to me. So Saraya kicks her, knocks her out. And crowd loves it. So, look, for the last 2 weeks, we said that Saraya has likely been cleared. You do not bring her in this high profile of a spot just to basically do what she was doing in WWE. What I think could be happening here, and I might be wrong, but the impression I got tonight is that Britt Baker and Saraya will fight at AEW's next pay-per-view, but I have a feeling they're going to make it look like an unsanctioned match. I think Saraya, because look, Tony Khan has still not cleared up if she's able to wrestle, if she's cleared. They're intentionally keeping it vague because they want to create a storyline out of that. Does that sound familiar? MJF, remember? Early on, you know, when MJF first walked out, you had busted open asking him once, you know, I can't talk about it. I have no comment. I can't talk. It was storyline the whole time. It was negotiations for real, but there was storyline the whole time. And Tony Khan, everybody dodged the subject because it was a storyline and he wanted to keep it vague. You know, it was weird. Tony Khan trying to cover his ass now, he actually told, I think, Busted Open today that his relationship with MJF is a professional one. Shouldn't that be for everybody? Like, what does that even mean? You know, like, we all know that Tony Khan wants to be one of the boys more than what Vince wanted to be in the 80s. But, you know, shouldn't everybody have that kind of relationship with Tony Khan? So it's when he actually says that specifically about one person, makes you wonder, what the fuck is Tony Khan's mindset with all these other people? That's why I do not feel bad about Tony Khan, what's happened in AEW. Tony Khan is a reflection. You know, when you see that foundation built on Silly Putty, understand that Tony Khan helped with the shovel. He helped dig that foundation that we have. Yes, if you're enjoying tonight's show, smash that goddamn like button because we're already in an hour and five. We're going to start bringing this home soon. But I do think that they're going to continue keeping Saraya's health issue vague because they want to have an unsanctioned fight. I think they will tease that she hasn't been cleared and Saraya will demand an unsanctioned fight. So AEW is not responsible if she gets hurt. But in actuality, Saraya is cleared. Saraya is cleared. She got a little physical tonight. Hey, Triple H could get physical. Who knows? Maybe we get a pedigree to Chad Gable on Monday. Shoosh! When DX comes out there and does their thing. Shoosh! I don't know. But I think they may be leaning to an unsanctioned match. We will wait and see. All right. Getting back to a few other things. Hangman Page over Roosh. No surprise there, especially when Hangman Page is going to be taking on John Moxley in 13 days. Not 14 days, everyone. 13 days. Yes, in 2 weeks, AEW Dynamite will be on a Tuesday night. A lot of people don't realize that. Luchasaurus beating Fuego del Sol. Not much there. After the match is over, Jungle Boy comes out there. Oh, some of you knew this is coming tonight. Be warned, expletives coming, everyone. Expletives coming. I will set it up for you. Jungle Boy comes out, hits Luchasaurus with a chair. Luchasaurus gets out of the ring. Jungle Boy gets on the mic. You are my best friend. You broke my heart. And now I'm going to break your fingers. I'm going to break your nose. Your fingers, your nose, your arms, your back, your pussy, and my crack, my neck, my back, my pussy, and my crack. Sorry. It's a running gag on this show. You know, I'm going to break your fingers. I'm going to break your nose. I'm going to break your arms. And it'll happen next week. Anytime I get to do that, I do it. So, sorry. That's why the show's TV 14 sometimes. So, we're going to get that match next week. I'll give you the full rundown in a little bit. We had segment backstage, Madison Rayne. She's so happy with Sky Blue. So happy that Sky Blue wasn't involved in the match tonight. But Sky Blue and Madison Rayne are confronted by Anna Jay. And she basically gets on the mic and she's talking about the Jericho Appreciation Society. Her and Ty Mello are throwing a little shade at Anna Jay, and they think that she doesn't need a wrestling coach like Madison Rayne. She could use a sports entertainment coach. So Anna Jay, Ty Mello, Sky Blue throwing insults back and forth. We find out they're going to have a match on Rampage. And Anna Jay basically leaking out the decision of this match. She leaves and says, as Chris Jericho always says, sports entertainers always be pro wrestlers. So that pretty much will tell you what's going to happen on Rampage Friday. All right. We had the segment of the Acclaimed, National Scissors Day. And now we understand what scissoring actually is. You know, Tony Khan said earlier today on Twitter, and I didn't say anything. I wasn't intending on even making fun of it tonight. He said that tomorrow in school, kids are going to be scissoring. Now, the problem is most people out there never actually thought about, you know, what are they trying to interpret scissoring to be? Now, if you pay close attention, a lot of people always thought that it had to do with sexuality and Anthony Bowens, and that's why fans would do it at autograph signings and everything. But no. Tony Khan wants the scissoring to be this generation's crotch chop. So Anthony Bowens gets on the mic and starts telling us, what is scissoring? After all of this time, everyone, all of this time, what is scissoring? It's a handshake. It's a sign of friendship that we all could get together. With all the turmoil in this world, you could look at your stranger and scissor them. So scissoring is rated G. It's about love, peace, and soul. So because Mark Sterling, you know, he's got to get involved in this shit, they bring out Swerve Scott. And Swerve Scott interrupts what was supposed to be the epic scissoring of Billy Gunn, Daddy S, and the Acclaimed. Now, right before Swerve Strickland comes out, no Keith Lee, though, by the way, but right before he comes out, Billy Gunn has a gift for the Acclaimed. I think I have the video. I should have the video. Where are you, video? Hold on. I got it. It ain't going nowhere. And even if it did, oh, here it is. So what ends up happening? There you go. He gives him a gift. I could put it enlarged. Opens it up. Gee, I wonder what is inside. What do you think is inside, everyone? What do you think is inside? There you go. Giant pair of scissors. Look at these guys. Oh, my God, it's scissors. Look at this guy's reaction. Oh, my God, it's scissors. Oh, my God, it's scissors. Oh, my God, it's scissors. Hey. There's nothing wrong with feel-good moments in wrestling. It's lighthearted. It's fun. I like that AEW chose to go rated G with this because this will catch on. And yeah, this could be AEW's DX chop for this generation. But right before they do their epic scissor, here comes Swerve Strickland. And as the Acclaimed called him, Sneaky Swerve. Swerve is now full-blown heel. That's why you don't have Keith Lee out there. Keith Lee is supposed to, like, differ with Swerve Strickland. And, you know, he's basically, you know, kind of finding all of this stupid. He wants to fight Billy Gunn next week because he's so pissed off that they lost the tag titles because of Billy Gunn hitting him outside the ring. He doesn't want a rematch or another shot. No, he wants Billy Gunn. So what happens? Mark Sterling comes out. Remember the whole dumb storyline with Tony Nese. Orange Cassidy, we only need one more signature on this petition. Sign it and Swerve Strickland is out of AEW. Instead of just letting that goddamn storyline die, it gets brought up again today. And Sterling, Mark Sterling is like, see, I was right all along. And here's where I thought this moment was stupid. You just had the Acclaimed tell everyone that, look, red and blue, black and white, people on opposite sides, let's all get together and love each other. Scissor each other. Go to your stranger. Somebody you don't like, scissor them. So Mark Sterling hits the ring. And all Mark Sterling wants is to be scissored. Now think about everything that Anthony Bowens and the Acclaimed just said about what scissoring is and what it should be. So what do? They beat the fuck out of him. I know I'm nitpicking, but that was stupid. I mean, if Mark Sterling, you know, was just throwing shade on all of this, that's different. But he actually said that he just wanted to be scissored, and they laid him out. Stupid. Main event tonight, Sammy Guevara, Chris Jericho defeating Bryan Danielson and Daniel Garcia. Fun match. Obviously, AEW went overtime tonight because it was their 3-year anniversary. You know, Sammy getting a little bit extra heat. A lot of people in the crowd were not aware of the backstage fight that went on with Andrade. They don't like Sammy, period. And, you know, Tony Khan thinks that this added heel heat on Sammy Guevara just helps the entertainment side of things. So, you know, when you see people online saying Sammy should lose tonight, you know, I mean, look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but no, that's not the answer of it. You know, if you want to send a message like, okay, Sammy's going to be punished, Sammy's going to get, you know, jobbed out tonight or maybe lose embarrassingly, okay, that's fine. But that doesn't send a message to the locker room. If you misbehave, you will lose. So, Jericho and Bryan Danielson are facing off next week for the Ring of Honor Championship. And if you didn't figure this out, this match tonight was a Ring of Honor match. Because we had Ring of Honor commentators and announcers. So this once again was a Ring of Honor match. Doesn't it feel like maybe Tony Khan's perfect world is to close AEW and just have everything as Ring of Honor? Doesn't it kind of feel that way? And we know it's not. Doesn't it kind of feel that way? I mean, they're force feeding Honor. And, you know, look, even though Tony Khan owns both, you know, what kind of message does that send? That you have Ring of Honor talents, main eventing matches, and you look at Battle of the Belts, with all due respect, and I love Prince Nana, but does anybody really, really, as far as the masses, do you really want to see the Gates of Agony taking on FTR for the ROH tag titles? Or do you want to see FTR versus the Acclaimed? Or do you want to see the Acclaimed defend an AEW tag title? I mean, you do realize that, you know, the title's being defended at Battle of the Belts. And for those that don't know why I keep bringing up Battle of the Belts, Friday, you have 2 hours of AEW programming from 10 p.m. to midnight like they did last week. Hour one will be Rampage. But then from 11 p.m. to midnight, they're doing Battle of the Belts live. So Friday, you could get 2 hours of Rampage. And if AEW does not float your boat Friday, I will be here live Friday. Instead of Saturday morning, I will be here right after SmackDown, doing the Don Tony Show. We will do predictions and a preview for Extreme Rules. We will talk more about Bray Wyatt, what will and will not happen at Extreme Rules. So join me here Friday if you want, 10:05 p.m. Eastern. So Battle of the Belts, you have FTR versus the Gates of Agony. You have Willow taking on Jay Cargill for the TBS title. You know what I'm sick of with these segments? Why is it that when anybody ever cuts a promo and they happen to bring up somebody randomly, that person is always standing on the sideline? Willow Nightingale was being interviewed about how she won her match tonight. And she's like, you know what? I want to fight Jade. And it's almost like, you know, you got three wishes. You know, rub the genie of the lamp. You know, I want a match with Jade. Fucking Jade is there 2 seconds later. I mean, does the entire women's roster, are they all now stand on the sideline because if Willow mentions your name, come on down. It looks so stupid on TV. Willow's like, you know what? I think I want a shot at the TBS championship. You don't say. And they're literally 5 inches away. Who the fuck produces that? Awful. Awful. And you know what the outcome is. Jade's going to be 39-0. And then we have Pac wrestling twice on Friday. He is going to be defending the All-Atlantic Championship against Trent Barreta at Battle of the Belts. Would not surprise me if Trent Barreta actually wins, by the way. But the further seed planting of Pac breaking away from the Lucha Bros will continue on Rampage. Now, because Andrade will no longer be fighting 10 in the career versus mask match, the Dark Order will be getting a shot at the Trios titles against the Death Triangle. So you will have Stu Grayson, John Silver, and 10 taking on the Death Triangle. That's Rampage. Also Rampage, you have the women's tag match, as I said earlier, Ty Mello and Anna Jay versus Sky Blue and Madison Rain. Hey, why don't they become a regular tag team and call them Blue Rain? Varsity Blondes versus Tony Nese and Josh Woods. And then check out this match. John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta versus Rush and Private Party. Now, obviously, Rush and Private Party will lose. Private Party will break away further. And maybe Matt Hardy makes an appearance as well. So you can pretty much figure out who's going to be the victor in all of these matches. Next week on Dynamite, we have Billy Gunn versus Swerve Strickland. We have Chris Jericho defending the Ring of Honor Championship against Bryan Danielson and Jungle Boy versus Luchasaurus. Then in 2 weeks, or 13 days, we will have Jon Moxley defending the AEW World Championship against Hangman Page, and it will be a last man standing match. AEW is going to be on Tuesday night, and you know they are going to go all out to get that little victory over NXT. Fine, whatever. Speaking of NXT, NXT yesterday to me was bizarro land. That's all I have to do. I mean, it was bizarro land. It was such a weird fucking show. You know what the show felt like to me? It felt like, okay, we know we're getting a DX reunion on Monday. But it almost felt like all the DX guys were backstage at NXT yesterday, and they all just said, you know, let's fuck around tonight. Because it started literally moments into the show. Toxic Attraction and Mandy Rose show up, and they're in an SUV. Someone else is driving the SUV, okay? They pull up in the parking lot. JC Jane and Gigi Dolan get out of the vehicle. And Mandy Rose didn't even have time to get out of the vehicle, and here is Alba Fire with a bat. She takes out Toxic Attraction. She jumps into the SUV, and the SUV drives off, all right? So we don't know who the driver was, but the weird thing about it is, okay, they're playing off that Alba Fire just kidnapped Mandy Rose. So Dexter Lumis, a couple of weeks ago, got arrested from the cops, had to turn himself in for what he did with The Miz. Yesterday, literally 5 minutes later, all right, instead of it being a six-woman tag match, now Gigi Dolan and JC Jane will be fighting Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark for number one contendership for the women's tag titles. Like, the head of your group just got kidnapped. 5 minutes later, they announce a number. It was just really, really weird yesterday. It was a very weird episode. We had the security guy, Hank. And look, I don't know if he was stabbed. I don't know if he had some type of surgery. But you see the tummy on the guy, and, you know, I got to hear what Jim Cornette has to say about Hank. I don't know if he's commented, but Hank is not your typical WWE star or even developmental star, and now they have him interacting with Quincy Elliott. And look, the local crowd likes the guy. They're into it. I talked about Quincy Elliott when I was there in person when he had his debut match. And you know, a lot of people like the guy. But yesterday, that segment just was bizarre. It just felt bizarre. It was a little bit weird. Then you had Grayson Waller, who did his Waller effect. It's the talk show thing. And he has on the show Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. Now, a little Easter egg that a lot of you probably did not notice yesterday. When Grayson Waller did his segment. Now, two things. Number one, he had a lot of security there to make sure Apollo Crews doesn't show up. Apollo Crews showed up. Now, for some reason, Apollo Crews, you know, is infatuated with doing something to Grayson Waller's eyes. Because after the whole segment is over, Apollo Crews pulls him under the ring. And obviously, they did that so he could put eye drops in his eyes to make it look like he's got bloodshot eyes. It was just a very weird segment with Apollo Crews. I mean, if you zoom in a little bit more, it was just a weird fucking segment. Just, I couldn't even, I don't know. But we had a little Easter egg at least. You know, when Grayson Waller does this segment, he's on Instagram. and he's streaming from his phone. And during the segment yesterday, when Roxanne Perez was talking, this happened. Now, for anybody that's on a mobile phone right now, you probably can't see it. And those on audio only obviously can't see it. But if I zoom in on this, Joe Gacy showed up on Instagram Live and posted a white rabbit. Just figured I'd show it to you because a lot of people still aren't even aware of that. That's what Joe Gacy did yesterday. Posted a little white rabbit. But the news coming out of this, besides getting bloodshot eyes, is Grayson Waller has an announcement. The match with Roxanne Perez against Cora Jade is going to be spin the wheel, make the deal. And since we have a rigged wheel and we already know what the outcome of the wheel is going to be, we're going to spin it live right now. Now, he didn't say that, but there are a lot of people out there who still don't realize that those wheels are rigged. They know what it's going to land on. So he spins the wheel, and it lands on a Weapons Wild match. It's basically an Extreme Rules match, Weapons Wild. The reason why they changed the name is because we have Extreme Rules this weekend, and they want Ronda Rousey and Liv Morgan to be the only ones using the term Extreme Rules. That's why they changed the name. So for those, because I know a few of you already asked me this, so I wanted to give you that answer right away. Something else with yesterday too. Now, unfortunately, I forgot to download the logos. All right, but yesterday, NXT changed their look a little bit. I already talked about this on the watch party, and I already talked about this on Patreon. You know, the look yesterday was black, gold, amber, and some like autumn colors. Somebody, I don't remember who it was yesterday, said the pumpkin spice look, and that's a perfect way to explain it. NXT removed a lot of the pastel colors because it's more of the changing of the season. We're now getting into the fall and winter months. And even though they're in Florida and the temperature is different there, for most of the rest of the world, we're going to be into cold and winter months. So the changing of the color was more to reflect the seasons than anything else. But as I said yesterday, and I say it again here now, I don't give a fuck what the NXT colors are, as long as I'm enjoying the show. That's what matters at the end of the day. You could put any color you want, but, you know, yesterday, like I said, yesterday was kind of bizarre. It was a very bizarre episode. Not everything was bad, but even with the schism, you know, we get somebody that's wearing a mask, wearing a hood, and apparently the schism is not happy with him. And then we see a little bit later, Cameron Grimes in the locker room talking to this person, and the dyad and Joe Gacy show up and attack Cameron Grimes. And they tell this person, we're proud of you. Welcome to the family. So we apparently have a new member of the schism. The weird thing about it is whoever it was is wearing a mask. You know, like, what was that movie with Tom Cruise? Eyes Wide Shut or something? It's like one of those masks. But just imagine Cameron Grimes in the back arguing with someone who is sitting wearing a hoodie with one of those masks on. And Cameron Grimes is, just imagine someone arguing with someone that's wearing a Halloween mask. It came off stupid, weird, goofy. Made Cameron Grimes look like an absolute dope. Now, who it's going to be, we don't know. We will find out shortly. One other thing that I really liked yesterday was the setup for the match between Damon Kemp and Julius Creed. And you know what? I have to take a moment to give a little bit of love to Damon Kemp. All the talk was about Gable Steveson and what he's going to do. Well, guess what? Bobby has leapfrogged over his brother Gable. He wasn't perfect yesterday cutting his promo, but he was so relaxed, very animated. You know, looking at his hands, taking this, doing that. You know, his anger and him pissing off the Creed brothers, it felt real. It felt organic. This guy is putting it together. I'm telling you, Damon Kemp is probably not on any of y'all radars right now. Keep that guy on your radar. He is really on the fast track. Going to the main roster anytime soon, I doubt it. But this guy, if you want to look back at 2022, if we do year-end awards in January, as far as like rookie of the year, he will be on the list. Will he win it? I doubt it. But Damon Kemp really has upped his game. And, you know, when they first split him away from the Diamond Mine, I was really like, kind of like, all right, I don't know if Damon Kemp is ready to be on his own. You know, he's doing a really fucking good job right now. So let's fill in some of the blanks from yesterday's NXT. I'm still looking at that Grayson Waller thing. Oh my God. Carmelo Hayes beating Oro Mensa. We had Von Wagner beating Andre Chase. It was a qualifier for the NXT North American Championship ladder match at Halloween Havoc. Wendy Chu of A Last Legend, Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark on the new number one contenders for the women's tag titles. They defeated Toxic Attraction. Julius Creed beating Duke Hudson like that. And after the match is over, that's where you had the confrontation with Damon Kemp. And Damon Kemp versus Julius Creed has been announced for Halloween Havoc. But stipulation, it's going to be an ambulance match. And if Damon Kemp wins, not Julius, but his brother Brutai, brother Brutus, will be out of NXT. So could they be splitting up the Creed brothers? Don't know. But that is an interesting stipulation. You know, if Damon Kemp loses, I guess he just gets carried out in an ambulance, but whatever. We had Zion Quinn beating Hank Walker after the match was over, a little beatdown. And, you know, we talked earlier about Quincy Elliott making a save, little comedy there. Then the main event. And this was cool. Everybody's in the watch party saw that I thought we were going to get a WWE tag team to show up. Pretty Deadly, having a little celebration. They've beaten everyone. They have no contenders. I thought, hey, Los Lotarios, why not? Hey, Tyler Breeze was just on the bump. Maybe Breezango will make a return. You know, give me, you know, a tag team. We got the Brawling Brutes. Ridge Holland and Butch. You know, not Pete Dunne, but Butch. And crowd loved it. Cutting a promo. Again, it's still awkward to see Ridge Holland getting the babyface pop. And look, I feel better for the guy because the amount of weight on his shoulders, he felt responsible. He knows it was an accident, but he felt still that guilt for Big E's injury. So to see the crowd getting a little bit past that, whether it's the main roster, yes, Sheamus has helped that. Yes, Butch has helped that. But Ridge Holland getting the babyface pop still feels a little awkward for yours truly. But I never blamed him, you know, for that. Shit happens. Freak things happen. You know, unfortunately for Ridge Holland, we have more than one incident in the past. But they challenged Pretty Deadly yesterday. And we did get a clusterfuck ending. And it was the right way to go. Because at Extreme Rules, it's going to be Imperium versus the Brawling Brutes. Six-man, good old-fashioned Donnybrook match, which means going to be a wild brawl. But the Brawling Brutes yesterday lost because Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci showed up, attacked the Brawling Brutes. Ridge Holland was left laying. He took Pretty Deadly's finisher, and Pretty Deadly keeps their tag titles. And I don't have it here, but Kaiser and Vinci cut a really cool backstage promo for social media, hyping up not only Gunther's match against Sheamus on SmackDown this Friday, but the Extreme Rules match on Saturday, if you want to go check it out. Very, very cool. But, you know, again, not everything yesterday in NXT was bad, but it was a lot of bizarre, just bizarre things that went down. And the current card for Halloween Havoc, I might as well give it to you because I have it here. I think I do. Do I have it? I just had it. I think, did I accidentally delete it? It's okay. I could reverse that. All right, here we go. Halloween Havoc. Right now, we have Bron Breakker defending the NXT Championship against Ilya Dragunov and JD McDonagh. And they did promos yesterday. Ilya Dragunov's video package yesterday was awesome. I tell you, as of right now, I'm kind of rooting for Ilya Dragunov to win the NXT Championship more than Bron Breakker retaining. I kind of got that vibe yesterday. But Breakker will be defending that championship against Dragunov and McDonagh in the three-way. Carmelo Hayes versus Oral Mensa versus Wesley versus Von Wagner. And then the winner of Nathan Frazier and Axiom, they will, because that match will go down next week, and a little news coming out of that as well. Whoever wins that final match between Nathan Frazier and Axiom will go on to the ladder match. Now, before I get into the rest of the card, Nathan Frazier was in the back talking about his match that he's going to have next week in NXT, and if he wins that match, he goes on to Halloween Havoc. Well, he was talking to Sangha. And Sangha, if you follow him on NXT, you know, always sending the inspirational, uplifting, you know, if I cannot go to a Halloween Havoc, I root for you. I wish you well. You know, people would, you know, get insults, throw insults at Sangha. I think you are being very disrespectful. Well, after he gives a little pep talk to Nathan Frazier, and as Nathan Frazier leaves, Veer Mahan shows up. And they exchange a little smile. Nothing is said. But as we talked about last Monday, Veer Mahan and Sangha are reunited as a tag team. And that is great. That is awesome. Because as I have said, I don't care what people have said that, oh, he's being demoted. Bullshit. What the fuck was Veer Mahan going to do on Raw under the current climate? What winning streak was he going to go on? If he was moved to SmackDown, where was he going to get any momentum? The answer is zero. If him and Sangha can rebuild what they had as Indira Shear, they could be better and more powerful than the Viking Raiders. I'm not kidding. Viking Raiders, unfortunately, I feel are very damaged goods. You know, you had New Day putting them over like crazy, and look what they're doing now. So I love the fact that Veer Mahan is teaming up with Sangha again. Definitely looking forward to that. So Cora Jay will be taking on Roxanne Perez in a weapons wild match. Damon Kemp versus Julius Creed in an ambulance match. If Julius loses, Brutus is gone from NXT. The women's tag title match has not been announced. It is a possibility. So that is a possible match to be added. Also, Alba Fire versus Mandy Rose for the Women's Championship could also be added. Those are two matches that are still unknown. So we'll see what happens. As far as injuries go, two things. We got one for NXT and one for AEW. First off, Tony D'Angelo. Last week I told you that a few people that I talked to directly in NXT, I got two different answers last week. One was that it was more storyline driven. Then the other one was that he had an MRI. Nothing was torn. He will be out for a little while with a sprain. Well, we found out that he has a PCL sprain, and they did a little storyline yesterday about it. Stax had a confrontation with Wes Lee. And basically what Stax told Wes Lee is, look, me and Tony D'Angelo, you know, when we do things, we make it look like an accident. But you did it on purpose. Now, me, living in Howard Beach, Queens, if that was Stax, I would have smacked him like Beavis. Butthead would always do to Beavis. Psh, 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 psh. Let's dissect what Stax said yesterday. You see, Wes, the difference between me and you is that me and Tony D'Angelo, you know, we do things and we make it look like an accident. But you did it intentionally. Wait a minute. If I'm going to whack somebody and make it look like an accident, I still intentionally hurt that person. If you hurt someone and you make it look like an accident, you're doing it intentional. You're just trying not to get caught. So what he said to Wesley, in my eyes, made no sense yesterday. But they're going to fight next week. Tony D'Angelo will be out for about a month, maybe 6 weeks. I heard more towards 3 to 4 weeks, tops. So, but nothing serious. We wish him the best. And a little injury update for Ruby Soho. A lot of people may not be aware of this, but you remember when we talked about that real hard fall that she took on her face that time? Remember we were concerned, and then she had the match with Ty Mello? Well, apparently somewhere along that line, she broke her nose. And she is on the road to recovery. So it wasn't just because of hurricanes last week, but when we saw some names notably absent on the women's roster and still absent on the women's roster, we now know that Ruby Soho is still recovering from a broken nose that she suffered about a month ago. So we wish her the best. So that is a photo that she posted online. So Impact Wrestling on October 7th is having Bound for Glory. And your lineup is Josh Alexander versus Eddie Edwards for the Impact Championship, Jordan Grace versus Masha Slamovic for the Knockouts title, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett versus the Motor City Machine Guns for the Impact Tag titles. Impact, Motor City Machine Guns show up once on AEW and they're gone. No momentum there whatsoever. Mike Bailey versus Frankie Kazarian for the X Division title. Chelsea Green and Deonna Purrazzo versus Taya Valkyrie and Jessica for the Knockouts tag titles. Mickie James versus Mia Yim. If you've been paying attention, they're doing the retirement storyline like they did with Ric Flair in WWE. You lose your last match, you're done. And they're going to do your call your shot battle royal. And the winner of that match gets a title shot of their choosing at any time. Last year, Moose won, cashed in, and beat Josh Alexander for the world title. The participants announced so far is Heath Miller, Moose, Giselle Shaw, Rich Swann, PCO, Bhupinda Guhar, Bobby Fish, Steve Macklin, and Sami Callihan. There's still 11 names to be announced, and Raven will be inducted into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. That is your episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite. As we close this out, a couple of things very quickly. Three questions, pretty cool ones, I might add. And someone DM'd me as we were live that Sammy Guevara posted a blog shortly before the confrontation with Andrade. And I want to share this with you because it's interesting because of what we showed earlier with what he wrote on social media and the real deep shots he took on Andrade. Now, you keep that mindset. Now I want to read you what was sent to me just now. And it makes you, I don't know. I mean, it kind of like, well, I'll just read it. Sammy Guevara said, and I quote, "There's just so much drama going on in wrestling. It's really exhausting. It's tiring. It seems like every couple of weeks is something. I'm minding my own business. I'm on vacation. And then, you know, people want to start with me. It is what it is. It's the life I signed up for, I suppose, but it's definitely tiring. And maybe I'll need to go on another vacation next week because it's so stressful. Either way, for the people that actually support me, for the people that watch these vlogs, part of the vlog crew, I appreciate you." So he went full-blown victim on there. And, you know, again, that kind of reflects that culture, and you now understand the clash that is going on in AEW. You know, WWE does not tolerate it. And honestly, look, I'm not trying to start shit, but you know for a fact that some people over the last bunch of years, without naming any specific names, they were released from WWE because of their attitude, because the way they went about business, it does not coincide with WWE. You know, even though they're independent contractors, there still is a level of professionalism that they want and demand. And, you know, they pay premium money, you know, to people to do that. And when you ask yourself, like, you know, you look at some names that WWE passed up on and they end up going to AEW. You know, you read some people like, oh, look, WWE really missed the opportunity and AEW signed this person. Well, understand, too, that it's not just what you could do in the ring. Sometimes, you know, it's what you do outside the ring kind of rubs people the wrong way. You know, you look at, I'm trying to think of a wrestler right now that has a really bad reputation that rubs people the wrong way. Who's a name? A name just came up a couple of weeks ago that the person just rubs people the wrong way. I can't remember who it is. But, you know, some people are very reluctant of signing some people because, oh, I know who it is. Brian Cage always had that reputation that, oh, WWE's not interested in him because, you know, he just rubs people the wrong way. He rubbed a lot of people that matter in AEW the wrong way. So Brian Cage, very cool to see him back. I'm a big Brian Cage fan, you know that. But there are some people who do not get opportunity, not just it's based on what they do outside the ring. And some people lose that opportunity. So you can't just base everything simply on wrestling. If you look at the AEW culture, the WWE culture, who in WWE right now would you think would be more inclined to fit that culture, that foundation that AEW has? Maybe for a little while, Mustafa Ali would have fit into that category, you know, but, you know, things apparently got straightened out with him and, you know, he still hasn't had any gold as a result. But, you know, it's not many people that you could actually think about. So, you know, you read this from Sammy and, you know what's sad about this? And I'm not criticizing Sammy, but I'm going to say it. You know, in his mind, he may truthfully believe that he's the victim here. You can't, in front of millions of people, you can't say things like this. Even if you feel you're right, and you can't say things like this. If people are going to rip apart CM Punk for confronting journalists in a media scrum, you know, you can't do things like that. And then especially play victim. You know, I think in his mind, he is a victim of this. And guess what? You know, he wasn't pulled from the main event tonight. If he would have been pulled from the main event tonight, I'm sure people would have understood. But not only was he not pulled, but he got the pin tonight. So again, I'm not criticizing Tony Khan. I'm not criticizing him. I'm not criticizing Andrade or anyone else. I'm just putting out there what happened. But what you got to get out of your mind is stop saying that Tony Khan is a victim, that Tony Khan's being embarrassed, that Tony Khan is being showed up. You know, this is the foundation that Tony Khan has built. And look, I'm sure he doesn't like this disarray, but, you know, if his mindset reflects the EVPs, this, oh, when we talk about that outside investigation next week, some of it's going to be common sense to a lot of you out there. But when you really take a step back, you know, if you think that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are on the outs as much as people are portraying it to be, you know, at the end of the day, it's business for them. But their mindset reflects Tony Khan 10 times more than Andrade, Malakai Black, CM Punk, and others. So, all right, a couple of quick supers that came in tonight, and I appreciate it. This is a good one from Giuseppe. Thank you for the 20 spot. With the way AEW fans are treating Saraya, how did the WWE fans treat WCW women who came over in 2001? And anybody that's looking at the screen right now, you saw, I omitted that he said, since I am old. Oh, because I was around watching wrestling in 2001, I am old. DT, since you're old, with the way AEW fans are treating Saraya, how did WWE fans treat the WCW women in 01? They did not shit on the WCW women in 01. And the reason being is because the two women that were featured more than anybody that came over from WCW was Tori Wilson and Stacy Keibler. And when Stacy Keibler showed up, if I remember, one of her first appearances is dancing on the table with the miniskirt, going into the ring very, very slowly so you could see her ass, and Jerry Lawler losing his shit. Woohoo! You know? How do you shit on that? It was a different era. It was a different era. You didn't have, I mean, look, you know, Molly Holly, you know, showed up, but that was before. We're focusing mostly on 01. You know, when WCW closed down in 2001, you didn't have many women jump over. But the women that did jump over, it was more sexuality. Tori Wilson, it was sexuality. Remember Vince? Remember the shower? You know, when he was in the back, he thought he was going to score with Tori. Wasn't it Kurt Angle that showed up in the shower? I mean, the water wasn't on, if anybody never saw that segment, but he thought he was getting some. I mean, there was some wild shit at that time, but no, it was sexual. You show, you know, a little bit of ass, a little bit of cleavage, and you tease the way that they did. How did the fans get a shit on that? So, nah, the women did not get ripped on at all. Not at all. Not at all. Saraya, you know, look, I think her promo last week was awful. You know, it happens. You know, whatever. Bringing out four women to reflect the babyface women's division, you know, I thought maybe they should have held off a week or two. And, you know, I think a lot of AEW fans always fantasize Saraya in the ring. And if they felt that there's a chance Saraya signed a deal and she's not wrestling, like, they don't want to be teased. You know, so if she can't wrestle, don't even sign her. And I think a combination of that, you know, led to Saraya getting some heat last week. But I don't think that'll be permanent. I think the more she gets physical, the quicker people forget about that. So, Austin Nance, thank you for the two spot, my friend. Hopes that me and my wife are feeling better from COVID. Funny thing is, I was responding to some of your comments on YouTube earlier today. I think it was Chaos's comment. I said, you know, today was the first day since I had COVID that I truly felt 100%. And then literally an hour later, my nose started bothering me again. But yeah, as of right now, I'm still negative. I'm not testing myself every day, but three straight days I was negative, that's good enough for me. So, you know, just I think it's just allergies. I think it's just allergies for me. And shout out to Casey as Raw. Thank you for the two spot. Who do I think is leaking the backstage drama? Nobody right now. There's just a lot of people that are seeing it. You know, this confrontation with Andrade, there were many people in that room that saw it. There were people that actually followed Andrade going up to Sammy Guevara today because they were trying to avoid, you know, this confrontation. Understand something. You know, in some of these arenas, when you are backstage, it's not like everybody, you put it this way, it's not like back in the day that you would walk past the room and it would say Stone Cold on the door and DX on this door and The Rock on this door and Mr. McMahon on this. You don't have 95 locker rooms. You do have quite a few, but a lot of wrestlers get dressed together. And, you know, then you got catering and you got other things going on. So you do have wrestlers all, you know, commingling. It's not like, you know, somebody, Goldberg is in his locker room, you know, until the door's knocked on and then after. No. So a lot of people witnessed what went down today. And, you know, somebody that DM'd me tonight said that Andrade wanted this leaked out because he wanted everyone to know not only what happened, but he backed up what he said. You know, I don't hide. If I have a problem with you, I say it to your face, you know, and I'll see you tonight. And he backed his shit up. Funny thing is, I don't want to put words in Sammy's mouth, but I get this weird feeling that if Andrade showed up tonight, didn't say a word, even if he was just trying to be the better man, something tells me that maybe Sammy or somebody would have leaked out online, like, see, Andrade showed up and he did nothing. So it was a fucked up situation. But in this case, you know, it's just so many people seeing it. And, you know, to them, it's give me the popcorn. I think at the end of the day, I think Andrade probably will be shown a lot more respect amongst people online. But hardcore AEW fans will take Sammy's side on this. And they will just look at it that this is Charlotte Flair's husband. He wants out of AEW anyway. He wants to go back to WWE. So good. Get him out of the fucking locker room. That's why CM Punk, Andrade's going to get some of that same treatment. I bet you. I said this with CM Punk and it happened. I bet you within a couple of days, you'll get some news outlets that'll write something that, you know what, the backstage reaction within AEW is that Andrade provoked this situation that, you know, could have been the better man in this, but got into Sammy's face, and a lot of people in the company feel that Andrade is a problem and should be let go. I guarantee you, you're going to see news reports trying to spin a lot of this is Andrade starting shit. Because it's a clash in culture, everyone. You look at the pattern from EVPs to Sammy Guevara and some other people in the back. It is the same. What do they all have in common besides working for AEW? It is a similar mindset. It's how they go about business. It's about leaking stuff out about some people that, you know, go against the program. You know, look at the Colt Cabana stuff. Remember, it was the EVPs that leaked that Colt Cabana shit out there. And Colt Cabana never went public and said, hey, these reports are false. Why would he do that? People in AEW that are standing up and sticking up for Colt Cabana, they're throwing it out there to try to help Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana could have taken 10 seconds and ended that rumor 6-7 months ago and chose not to. That's very, very revealing. Malachi Black talking about management leaking out his private issues, his mental health, stuff like that. Everybody focused on, oh, he requested his release, then he didn't, said he's not released. But instead of saying, wow, that's fucked up, man. You got management telling wrestling news sites that he wants out, he's got mental health issues. That's fucking disrespectful. And nobody talks about that. So, you know, there is a culture. You look at some of the wrestlers, you know, that's why I think you don't see that much with Paul White. I think that's why they're on like the business side of things. That's why you don't really hear much with Mark Henry. He is more about, you know, the outside, representing AEW out in the real world. You know, you look at Tony Khan, and Tony Khan did an interview this week, and he was talking about three people that he feel have really stepped up for AEW. Who are those three people? Chris Jericho, Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson. You know, very, very revealing when you think about who they are, where they came from, and how they deal with things. How they deal with things. Moxley's like, fuck you, I don't give a fuck. You know, I do my thing and that's it. Bryan Danielson, you know, he doesn't curse you out, but Bryan Danielson, like, look, I just want to do what I do. I love wrestling. I'm doing this for my family, for my love of wrestling. Help others. Get out of here. And Jericho is the consummate professional. And yes, he's out for himself. And that's why he's in every main event. Now, if you pay attention, he opens the shows. He sometimes closes the shows. Jericho is all over the fucking TV. So this is right up Tony Khan's alley. But you don't hear, you know, other names ever being mentioned. And you don't hear the other names as well that are doing behind the scenes stuff. So, all right. Holy shit, we did 2 hours? What time is it? Oh, it's only 12:18. It's not that bad. All right, I'm going to get out of here. So if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that like button. It helps more than you know. If you have any comments, any questions stemming from tonight's episode, post it in the comment section. I am always interacting and responding as many as I could. And for our Patreon family and channel members here, I have decided to post the contest for Extreme Rules tomorrow. If there's an added match Friday, it will not be part of the contest. So if you want to take part in the predictions contest to win some coin, Definitely look out for the respective pages. You will see the contest put up tomorrow. You will have until about 3 p.m. Saturday afternoon to enter. And most important, everyone, well, two things. Number one, don't forget, this Friday, 10:05 p.m., I will be here live. It's not going to be just Extreme Rules predictions and a preview, but we're also going to talk about SmackDown, any added Easter eggs with Bray Wyatt. Hopefully there's not as many on Friday because it's going to be really crunch time to go live right after. We'll also talk about any news, fallout from today. We'll have some ratings coming back. We'll have some other things. So Friday will be a full-blown Don Tony Show episode. And we're doing it Friday at 10 at night instead of 11 a.m. Saturday morning is because Extreme Rules will be too close to Saturday morning show. So we're going to do it the night before instead. And for those that are going to tune into Rampage and Battle of the Belts, enjoy it. It should be a fun show regardless. And that's it. So everyone, thank you as always for your support. Much love. And I will catch you all, hopefully, Friday, 10:05 p.m. Be well, everyone.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.